All right, here we go again. This is episode 127 of the 411 Owned Gaming Podcast.
100 episodes from 227.
I was just fucking thinking that shit.
Early, no place like home.
Only in my fucked up ass brain, it 227 the show was 127. So I was getting all excited for some shit that wasn't really true.
Nah, Marla Gibbs isn't walking through that door.
Am I missing something?
Yeah,
227, man.
You guys are young and white.
Young shit.
I mean, I'm white. I have like,
shit.
But no, you're old. You're old. Yeah. So we got
shit.
That. We got that together.
All right, everybody. We got a good show. I feel like Steve Harvey right now. We got a good one for you today.
Shut up, lady.
What are we going to win, Steve? I hate Steve Harvey. Go ahead.
Welcome to the Miss America contest.
Right.
Oh, I mean, let me look at that card. 411 Gaming Podcast.
Oh, I mean the Mayweather Conor fight.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Sorry.
It's all good.
I haven't been here in a week.
No, I know. I'm your man, Jackie Fingers. The whole crew's here.
Willis Drummond.
Wow.
That's my new thing. That's my new thing every week. So go ahead on.
You got a new one every week?
Every week.
All right.
It's easy.
Kevin.
Matt.
It's me.
I want to do that now, too. This episode, I am Rafael Sadiq.
As always, I'm just going to keep it moving. As always, the show is brought to you by our man, Billy Ray Ransom. Shout out to Billy. Keep it coming, man. Doing a great job.
Nice.
We love to hear what you do. So, Dak.
Yep.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you.
Belated.
Yep.
It was a good party. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming.
Of course.
You didn't use the joke present yet, did you?
The joke present? F y'all.
Hey, we didn't buy it.
You laughed.
It was fucking hilarious.
Yeah. I actually have to say that was probably one of the best joke presents I've
That was pretty fucking
seen
clever.
In a very long time.
It was pretty clever.
Yeah.
All right. So, and this is coming straight from the horse's mouth, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Dak is old.
I'm old.
So Dak wants to talk about old shit.
Yep.
So let's talk about some old shit. We're going to talk about giant pieces of particle board and plywood screwed and nailed together with laminate on top.
Oh, I'm so excited.
With pretty designs.
Welcome to this old house.
And flashy buttons. That's Siri. Don't know how she answered, but she answered.
Lemon on top?
With lemon on top.
Right? Hey, bitch, if you're going to start spying, why don't you fucking listen a little better?
It's like she was making us all sandwiches and heard us say something. You want lemon on top?
Oh, man, look, particle board and lemon, that's a fucking struggle plate if I've ever heard of it. Look, your shit is fucked up.
Worse than a mayonnaise sandwich.
Yeah.
Worse than that.
Yeah.
It's like a really fucking dry cake. Ugh.
Yeah.
So, if you didn't get it, I'm sorry you're stupid. We're talking about arcade machines.
Yay.
I actually like this idea because I loved arcade machines when I was growing up. I wasn't really big into pinball machines.
No.
Did play some pinball machines here and there. I did typical stuff too, like skee ball, that kind of thing, you know. But one of my fondest memories, before we actually get into the talk of arcades, there is a restaurant here in our hometown that has since been demolished and remodeled and rebuilt. But long ago, it was a place where my grandfather, father, whatever, used to go to all the time. And he knew everybody there. And he'd always take me there. Now, remember, I'm a kid. I'm like
seven,
eight, nine. Yes. But his name's not Norm.
Boom.
And it wasn't Cheers.
Boom.
So he'd go there, he'd have a coffee, you know, talk with his friends that worked there, meet up his buddies, basically. I think it's where he used to meet his pool league.
Is this a daily thing?
Like
this was his hangout?
A couple times a week, yeah. So he'd bring me along, get me a root beer and some chicken nuggets, and then he'd give me a dollar or two in quarters. They had two arcade machines. I want to say one of them was like OutRun or one of the, like, classic arcade racers, right. And the other one was Mortal Kombat.
Which one?
First one.
First one.
The first Mortal Kombat arcade machine. And I used to wreck that fucking thing.
Were you good?
Yeah.
You were good?
And I had so much fun. And, like, I remember going home and talking about the game. After the first time I played it, I was talking with my my uncle and the rest of my family, because we had big family gatherings back then. And I was talking about this game, and then lo and behold, for my 9th birthday, I get a Sega Genesis with Mortal Kombat.
Yay. Complete with blood code.
For my birthday.
I was just saying, yeah, they gave you the right system too.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I got the Sonic Genesis, like the original big blocky Genesis with Sonic in it. And they got me Mortal Kombat and another game that I talked about before. But that's one of my finest memories, because it was one of the few times that the arcade bled into the home, you know, gaming and consoles, like right in that transition where arcades and consoles were on par with each other.
I mean, I think really, like, fighting games, period, was kind of where that started.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I know, like, you know, Atari had, like, Pac-Man and all that shit, yeah. But, like, you know, that, beside the point, like, fighting games is where, like, you know, you knew if you were playing something. Like, you knew if you were playing a fighting game in the arcade, you would see it on a home console.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when home consoles were in that transition, where it was, like, getting to the point that home consoles could do what arcades could do.
Right.
So, as much as we're talking about old shit, this is much more relevant to me as of recently, because not that long ago, I went up the timeline with Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, all their arcade games up there are old.
Yeah.
But it's like, you don't get that arcade experience that much anymore.
That arcade experience has been, like, they try to say Dave and Buster's have that same arcade experience.
No.
They try to.
True. No.
They don't.
I don't feel the same
they're,
way.
They're,
I've never
even
been to Dave and Buster's.
No.
Even with our last arcade that we had, Record Town, it had gotten to the point where it was both a mixture of those ticket machine games, mm-hmm, and the claw machine type things, and like the fucking candy machine where every time you're a winner, it was a mix of that and the arcade games. Like back in the day, the arcade, when we had the Dream Machine, it was the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
The Dream Machine was where?
That was
in,
where
it was in the mall,
right,
where the treat shop
the
is.
Theater.
Okay.
Fuck was I thinking that was a timeout?
No, and then you're thinking of, they also had FYE, had an arcade portion of it for a while.
What's crazy is I remember that. That was right around the time when I first moved out here.
It was Record Town.
It was the second half of that store.
When Dream Machine got bought out or closed down or whatever the hell happened, we had that Record Town where FYE is now. Mm-hmm. And they had the building split. The right half was the arcade.
Yeah.
And then Record Town got bought out by FYE or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept it around for like another maybe year and closed it down.
I don't remember it ever being called Record Town. I just remember it being FYE had two sides and one of them was an arcade.
I remember it pretty clearly, actually. And it was funny because I was cleaning out the house last year and I found like just plastic grocery bags full of those tickets,
mm-hmm,
that I never cashed in. You know, it's kind of fucking funny.
It's funny. You guys were talking about this hometown arcade. My arcade wasn't in my hometown. It was like a couple cities over, because I grew up in D.C. There wasn't really a mall in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So you could go to like
there's the mall.
There's a mall.
Yeah.
The mall, which to me kind of sucks. But
right.
Compared to a mall. But yeah, I used to go to Forestville Mall, and they had Time Out. And Time Out was like the chain arcade.
I was going to say, there must have been one around here, because I remember like that name.
We had a Time Out restaurant.
There was a Time Out restaurant that I think had some.
Nah, he's there before that.
Yeah. I don't know if maybe it was in White Marsh or one of the different malls with Towson or something like that.
I love that place. And yeah, I could still hear the same sounds. Like, I would hear the sounds from the skee ball machines in the back, mm-hmm, or in the front, I think. I can't remember, like, the pinball machines. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, the one game I definitely remember playing a lot of was Ghostbusters, mm-hmm, three-player one overhead shooter,
mm-hmm,
and freaking Shinobi. Like I thought Shinobi was so freaking cool.
There was two spots when I was a kid, even before Dream Machine was my like $5 allowance, mm-hmm, like teenage weekend, like, you know, Dad, it's 1995. Why am I still only getting $5? Because you know I'm just going to burn it up in the fucking arcade.
Yeah, come on, man.
I'm teaching you something. Oh, yeah? Well, it didn't work. I got a new job that pays $11 an hour. I'm fucking 36 years old. Thanks, Dad. there was a Little George's,
yeah,
which was a convenience store chain around here. I actually used to have a grocery store called George's.
Yeah.
And then that grocery store had a couple Little George's that were convenience stores. And there was one in Finksburg, and I've told Dakar about this before because it's one of my, like, if we ever won the lottery, that's where I would buy the Little George's to turn into our studio. Because that Little George's had a spot tucked away that was two steps up. It was like a room. And I remember it having, and this was before Mortal Kombat, it was like Galaga, Q-Bert, Altered Beast.
Nice.
And something else. And every fucking time we went there for milk. Or eggs, or my father was getting something.
I gotta jump in.
It was like, come on, like, can't get, like, you gotta give me a dollar. Yeah. Like, you know, you're just gonna sit in the truck anyway. Who gives a shit? Like,
yeah.
But, and then when we would go visit my grandmother in Baltimore, there was a convenience store that was literally right around the corner called Chuck's. And that had a Shinobi and Altered Beast and two other games I didn't really fuck with. So, like, I got really good at Altered Beast because when I was 6 through 10, both places I would go to play video games had it.
Had two Altered Beasts.
Yeah, like, wow. It was just, you know, fucking, you know, 40 miles from each other, and it was just both places. They was like, oh, there's an Altered Beast there. I'll fuck that shit up.
Cool game.
I don't have as many memories of the arcades because I was kind of growing up at the tail end of the arcades, and I didn't get a lot of experience with that. I knew what they were and remember seeing cabinets like that at bowling alleys and stuff like that, had the little mini arcades in them, but not trying to give tons of shout outs to that timeline, but that place literally is stepping through a time warp.
I still got, like, I got to get up there and check that out.
I wanted, honestly, when you told us about this topic, I was like, we should take a trip as a group up there one weekend and just hang out because it's like $10 an hour or like $25 for a day.
Maybe we'll do that for like our holiday party.
Yeah. Look, if they didn't burn my nephew, it would have been all
right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. He had a bad experience.
No.
A bad experience.
Where? What? Either way.
I'm not stopping anybody else from going. Yeah. I'm just saying.
They have stuff up there like an original Tetris cabinet.
Wow.
I've never even seen a Tetris cabinet before or heard of one.
I didn't even think that was a thing.
Yeah,
they
have
the old vector graphic, like, Star Wars game with the joystick with the buttons where your weapons are, you're shooting down at glowing asterisks that are coming at you. Everything's wireframe.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry, but like one of the guys, when I asked for like arcade stories on the Facebook wall, and one of the guys actually said, like, showed that game. Like, they posted that. Like, that was their jam. Like, they loved that game. And that game was so ahead of its time.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. And it, like, you start off, and it's like, I know I'm going to suck at this. I'm going to play it on easy just to see how I do. And then it's like, great, you did it. Now we're going to medium. Good luck. Beat that. Oh, now you're in hard. You're screwed. And each time it takes you a different way. It's different wireframes. Shit's coming at you from every different angle. It, going there and seeing some of those games that either I, A, have never played because they just weren't around. Other weird thing, they actually have a Fix-It Felix machine up there.
Fix-It Felix?
From Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
They got that arcade game, actual standing cabinet that you can play in there.
Fix-It Felix was a real thing?
I think they made it for the movie.
What?
Yeah.
So the game that was based on that character.
Dude, yeah. The one time I actually went up there... Mm-hmm. No, I think I went up there two or three times before I got shitty. It's a problem I have. But,
getting shitty?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't fucking... I can't, like something without finding a flaw in it. Probably why I have a shit job. But, there was, like, I had a really fucking dark experience up there. Because I was playing some game. And after it was done, you know how, like, you know, games will like do their start screen, mm-hmm. and then they'll, you know, they'll run through their opening shit, and then
they
run like
test.
And then they'll you know, they'll just keep doing that in a loop.
Oh, that, okay.
Well, you know, like whatever the fucking opening screen, like insert coin screen yeah. is. Well, I don't remember what game it was up there, but one game up there does that, and then in between doing that, has a, like, missing kids fucking...
That was a big deal then.
...post. And I'm like, I was, like, playing, and I was like, I wonder if those fucking kids were ever found or not. Like, I bet you they're both dead. Like...
That wasn't the Adam kid.
Yeah, and nobody... Oh, no. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Talk about fucking 80s and dark. Yeah. But motherfucker's so beat up about that, he started his own show. But
he went opposite Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. He did. Reverse Bruce Wayne. But yeah, I remember seeing that and being like, look, you guys probably like do something about that, because I don't think this is necessary anymore. It's kind of just bringing down the mood.
I'm sitting here trying to have a fun time with my little damn quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I was like enjoying my $10 a fucking hour experience, and now it's probably worth $8.
I don't think, I want to say, like, that was only a handful of games. I don't remember seeing that too often.
No, that's what I mean. That's why it was, like, so jarring.
Yeah.
I'm, like, walking down, like, the hallway of these games, I'm, like, missing kids. And, you know, and it was, like, the date that they were missing was, like, fucking, you know, like, 1993. And you're
who wants, I'm sorry to be that way, but who wants to see that?
Yeah, that should have been something that they took out.
I think one of my biggest things I loved about the arcade was... going and seeing the new machines.
Yeah.
Because they didn't always arrive like on a regular schedule. You know, it's just like games are now.
Yeah.
The programmers and developers decide to put the machine out. And it's new and it's like, it's fucking hotness. You know, like a lot of the games I played growing up were fighting games. I played Battle Arena Toshinden, Tekken, Virtual Fighter, the Mortal Kombats. Never played Street Fighter in the arcade. I did get to play Pit Fighter, which was fucking cool.
Oh,
the arcade version of that shit.
Yeah.
And they had like
Mortal Kombat's grandfather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had the staples like the Terminator 2 machine with the fucking
what about freaking
guns?
The Aerosmith game.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the disc, yeah.
Yep.
I remember the one that used to be next to FYE had one of those like 1941 or 1942 games.
Yeah.
The one where you were just the plane and a shmup.
Yeah, it's basically Galaga. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were fucking cool as shit. All those shooters, those stick shooters were awesome.
As corny as it is, still playing an actual cabinet of like Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man is still awesome.
I remember when I was younger, and when I say younger, not a kid, but I mean like in my 20s, I said, in my house, I will have a Pac-Man stand-up. What's the name of the cabinet?
Mm-hmm. Cabinet.
Just never got to it.
Another story from my dad, one of his other hangouts, where he actually used to participate in his pool league,
mm-hmm.
Ernie's on Main Street.
Okay.
They had a 4-player top-down Pac-Man cabinet.
Yeah, there was somebody I knew that got a settlement when I lived in Pennsylvania, and his mother bought him one of them for like their basement.
Really?
That you actually like sit down. It's like a fucking table that has glass and has fucking top down Pac-Man.
Yep. Those suckers were the star of Pizza
Hut.
They
do have a new version of that that is Pac-Man Championship Edition, and it's you versus 3 other people.
They have that as a cabinet?
And in timeline, it's that table looking down, and it's 4 people sit at corners. And you control a different colored Pac-Man.
Wow.
When you eat a power pellet, you become big and can eat the other Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm.
That's up there? Yeah, I got to get up there. I got to get up there.
One thing I got to mention, I was just looking for like the fucking title of it. I have no idea where I played this, but there was one time, and I was like way too young probably to play it, which is that's not true. Like, it's not like it scarred me for life or anything. But did any of you guys ever play a game called Chiller?
No.
No.
It was a shooter, but it wasn't a shooter that had a pistol on a cord. It had a rifle sitting on a metal...
Like the T2 one.
Tripod, kind of. And it came out in like the 80s, and it was literally a shooter that you would get like torture chambers on screen... And, like, like, say there was, like, somebody on a rack, and then if you would shoot the wheel on the rack, it would stretch them out, and then they would fucking split in half.
That's cool as shit.
And, like, I think it was, it must have been at, like, a bowling alley that, you know, I wasn't expecting to, like, play this game, and I'd only seen it once, and it's, like, the one arcade game that keeps popping up into my head that, like, I don't know how the fuck I would find it. But if I ever own arcade machines, I have to own that. Because I remember being a kid being like, this is the fucking coolest goddamn thing I have ever seen in my life.
Like, God, I played a lot of light gun shooters, too.
Looks like that shit was made for the NES, too.
A really toned-down, shitty version of.
Okay.
But, yeah, I implore anyone that's curious that's listening to the show, look up the arcade version of Chiller on YouTube. It's like, especially for, you know, pre-Mortal Kombat, like, you never saw anything like that. Like, you know, like shooting people in the fucking face and their face gets all like bloody and like blown out. Wow. Or like somebody, like, they, like, people would come out of the ceiling like on a noose and then you shoot them up and then you're getting points the whole time. You're like blooding their whole body and then you shoot the rope. And they would fall into a river, and then a crocodile would fucking eat them. Like,
nice.
Just like, it really, like, if you were good at it, it would take you 20 minutes and the game's beat. Like, it was only 5 or 6 different scenes like that. But, like, I remember that was, for me being a kid, that was my, like, fucking arcade unicorn. Like, I saw it once and got to play it. Not nearly as much as I wanted to, and then never saw it again.
Wow.
It's like the fucking, it was like the goddamn, the genie arcade thing in the fucking movie Big, where it's like that motherfucker is just looking for it, like the whole movie, you know, like fucking 10-year-old kid, big body, you know, getting fucking, you know, getting grown women to sleep with, you know, 10-year-olds, and then like for some reason he like wants to find it again. I'm like, I didn't get the whole like sleeping with older ladies experience out of it, so it wasn't that magical, but it was pretty fucking cool, that's all I'm saying.
Well, if you're going to talk about arcades, one game that just popped up in my head while you were talking about that was Dragon's Lair. Who fell
fuck
for that?
That shit.
Who fell? I fell for it once.
Oh,
never did it again.
I fell for. I probably put $1.50 into that shit.
Yeah,
and like was like, no. This is a. We didn't. You know, it wasn't. You didn't even understand the QuickTime event.
No.
Like that wasn't even named then. But that's all the fuck it is. And I was like, I'm not doing this.
And see, I think I could play through it now. Like,
yeah, probably.
I think I want to
find.
Good,
you got a chance in Hanover. They have one.
They have that. I might look up a walkthrough because I do want to play through it. I was like, damn, graphics like these. They'll never be able to do this. And what's crazy is they can make a Dragon Age game that looks like that now. They really could.
Yeah.
With full control.
Yep. But yeah, like that whole idea that the trick of like, it's a fucking cool video game, with like super cool, like it looks just like a cartoon. And you're like, wait a second. It is just a cartoon. They're just stopping it. Mm-hmm. And if you input the right control, it's just like, now you die.
And them shits didn't take a quarter.
Oh, no. That shit was expensive.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, it was at least 75 when everything was a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even a dollar.
What I was talking about earlier with the new machines, I specifically remember going to the arcade once, and they had just installed the Star Wars arcade machine. It was the one that... I'm pretty sure it had a PC release. I know it was out on the Sega 32X.
Oh, you took that one.
The sit-in?
Yeah, the sit-in, and it was all X-Wings and A-Wings,
the
missions. You know, pretty shitty graphics. Like, it was just polygons without any type of texture.
Mm-hmm.
But that shit was so fun because, like, the cockpit would move with you and everything.
Dude, there was a fucking... I only saw it once, never got into it. Because it was way too expensive. I saw a fucking Top Gun cabinet one time.
Yep, played that.
That was, no fucking bullshit, was a goddamn cylinder. Or a sphere that you fucking got into.
Yep.
I mean, I feel like if everything was a dollar, this was like $20 a play.
Had to be. Had to be.
Like, you could fucking spin around in it. And I don't... It's one of those things where, like, I know I have that memory, and I'm like, I have to be making that up, like, right? Like, my 8, 10-year-old, like, brain's got to be making that up, because nobody would actually make that. And I swear to you, it fucking existed somewhere.
I don't know. I think they took
time to the risk. Google machine.
They took risk with some of the.
No, don't prove me wrong. Give me this.
Yeah.
Stop well, it.
The other one,
a
too.
A listener probably will.
Yeah.
Yeah, let the listener do it.
The other one, too, was what I was talking about, that Star Wars cabinet. Because this was big, like, we started getting a lot more of the racing games that you sat in.
Yeah.
The motorcycle racing games that, like, you sat on a bike and you pulled the throttle. Right. I mean, they had all types of games. Yeah.
What the fuck was that? What were those games? They're probably not. It's. I don't think it's like Mobile Suit Gundam. But like, there was a game that you would sit in. It didn't move, I don't think. But it had like a shitload. You would control it with like two joysticks, and there was also a couple buttons that you'd have to press. And it was like it was like a mech fighter.
They have them at Dave and Buster's. It's more almost like a VR experience because you pull a helmet down over your head.
Oh, this was pre VR. He's talking about the old one, like
there's an old school game that's like that. I forget what the fuck it's called too, but it literally like the controller itself had like 100+ buttons on it.
Well, I saw that and I was just like, no thanks.
But when they first put out the Star Wars trilogy machine,
yeah.
That like it was literally just a fighter stick from like a Top Gun machine or whatever, but not only did you fly shit, you fought fucking Darth Vader in the Death Star. Like that shit was badass growing up, and like you go back and look at it now, and it's like all you did was just parry all of his attacks.
Oh, I look
with the joystick game. Is that what you're talking about?
It was a flight stick.
Yeah. I felt like all they did was give you a couple scenes.
Hey, Kevin, way to not know what we're talking about because you're busy destroying my childhood.
No, I couldn't even find it. So, no, but the reason I'm confused is that was the Star Wars Star Wars trilogy arcade game.
Right.
That one never came out for anything outside of the arcade.
No, the other one was just called Star Wars Arcade.
Okay.
And it was, like I said, just very shitty polygons with no texture.
Yeah.
And pew pew.
Yeah.
In X-Wings.
Pew pew pew.
Yeah, because that arcade, the trilogy one you were just talking about, that one had a bunch of different fights because you did have Vader on the Death Star.
Right.
You also had Boba Fett.
I was going to say, I feel like I saw Boba Fett. What about, did it have the speeder bikes in that one?
Speeder bikes, X-Wings. What else was there? There was another one.
I don't think I ever saw that in person. That was something that I saw in like an EGM or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, for all the love I had of Star Wars, like, I never really played any Star Wars games in the arcade. Like, my arcade experience, really, like, I would, you know, if I had $5, I would fuck up, like, $2 just fucking around doing different shit.
Yeah, I did that too.
The $3 was whatever fighter I was playing at the time.
Yeah.
Whether it was Tekken, whether it was Virtual Fighter, whether it was Mortal Kombat. For some reason, after Mortal Kombat came out, I stayed away from Street Fighter. Like, I played Street Fighter 2 a lot, like, in the, you know, in the arcade, but the minute the minute Mortal Kombat came out, the rotation ended up being either Virtual Fighter, Mortal Kombat, or Tekken. And Tekken was the one that I really ended up, like,
Tekken
staying
was
with.
Sick.
Yeah.
Tekken was really cool looking.
Tekken was the one. Virtual Fighter might have had him beat, but they also had those, like, weird fucking, like moon physics that were a pain in the ass.
Uh-huh.
But, like, Tekken was the first one that I remember where you could, like, sidestep.
Yep.
And I remember being like, oh, shit.
3D.
Yeah. 3D. I can take one step toward the camera, one step away from the camera. That shit is awesome.
See, that game had Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
At its purest. Like, Street Fighter had Fei Long. But I felt like Bruce Lee controlling martial law.
Yeah. I think my favorite one.
Don't you mean Liu Kang?
Huh?
Don't you mean Liu Kang for...
Liu Kang
for Mortal Kombat.
For Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
But yeah, Law for...
Martial Law was tough.
Yeah, Liu Kang was Bruce Lee-like.
Yeah.
My favorites were definitely like the X-Men and Turtles, like four-person arcade cabinets.
Yeah, they were great.
The freaking Simpsons.
They were great.
Simpsons, yep. I mean,
I played the shit out of the Simpsons for some reason.
I definitely gravitated more towards the Turtles and the X-Men with Colossus.
I think the X-Men was the oldest of all of those games, and I feel like, wasn't that a six-player one? Or
no,
was
they might have had. The one that I remember was the four. You had Wolverine, Cyclops, Storm, Colossus,
Dazzler,
Nightcrawler.
Dazzler and Nightcrawler.
Which is so funny to like go back and think about, too.
Wolverine was in there, too.
All of them are the same fucking game.
Yeah.
That's all
like, there's got to be, like...
Reskin.
Like, the processing difference is, like, nothing. It's just like, well, here's how this base game works. Let's just... Oh, Marge has a vacuum cleaner.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Instead of them popping out of the wall in X-Men, they grow out of the ground in Turtles.
Yeah.
I remember all those fucking X-Men... Like playing X-Men all that time and
Colossus always made the goofiest sound too when you used his superpower.
Oh, I used to hate that Colossus was on there. I felt like it was a waste of space.
What about the NBA Jam?
Thank you. Wow, are you reading my mind now?
That fucking did you ever see the one that looked like the scoreboard?
I don't think so.
Instead of it being like that bent look to the cabinet where it had like two monitors or whatever, or three monitors, it was literally a fucking scoreboard.
Oh, shit.
Like.
No.
Dude.
See, I remember playing NBA Jam on a field trip. It was the first time I've ever seen it. And I'm, again, almost like Matt's thing, I'm almost certain Magic Johnson was in that game. Like, Magic Johnson wasn't in the home version. Mm-hmm. But I felt like Magic Johnson. I'm not sure about Larry Bird, but I'm almost certain Magic Johnson was in the first version. And again, seeing those players as big as they were, they took up the whole screen.
Yeah.
I mean, the fire effects looked great at the time. Like, there was nothing like it. Like, it's got to be one of those arcade memories that stick out for me. Because when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, they're really killing it now. Like,
that was like it was a perfect amalgamation of like taking a sport and making it an arcade game.
Yeah.
And what I loved about both NBA Jam and the ones Kevin was just talking about, the X-Men, the Turtles games, the Simpsons games. Back when you were in the arcade, kids would just roll up on that arcade and be like popping quarters in, jump in right into the game, and like
those games didn't get rough.
You could make friends.
Yeah.
Or you could hate the person next to you because he smells. But like that just it just happened. You know, like aside from the fighting games where people would like wait in line, put their quarter down, like that shit happened all the time. You'd roll up, you'd be playing a machine, somebody else would roll up and play, you'd fucking rage quit. Mm-hmm. They'd keep playing, somebody else would roll up, put the quarters in where you were just at.
I think that
was so fucking cool.
Honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, I think the reason that I'm not competitive in gaming currently is because I did that already. Mm. Like that part of my life was 13 to 17 in arcades with fighting games. Like, I'm not the Call of Duty player because I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I did that shit 20 years ago. Only 20 years ago, you had to fucking... I mean, I distinctly remember the feeling of putting a quarter and sliding it down the glass on the little, like, rest.
Yep.
And it's just like, there it is. And I mean, sometimes, like, if you had, like, a good player, there'd be four or six fucking quarters lined up where it's like, okay, all right, you know.
We're trying to take this guy out.
Yeah, like that. Like, there was a fucking arcade consensus that we're like, we are getting this motherfucker off the cabinet. And it would really only, most of the time, it would only last for a round if he got beat.
Yeah.
Because he would just go to the line, put his quarter back up, and then he'd hold the fucking, you know, hold the cabinet for another hour.
Did any of you ever knock out King of the Hill? Or any of those games?
I did once.
I was never...
See, I got two stories.
Fighting game guy. I'm still not.
Really?
I mean, like, I played them, but I was always the one that would be going there to the goal of just playing, like, the matches against the CPU. Then someone would jump in, I'd get my ass beat, and I'd be like, all right, peace.
Go ahead. Sure?
Yeah. Because sure. You have two, so you do one, and I'll do mine.
Well, both of them concern one game, and it's Mortal Kombat. The first one And I gotta say, it shocked me when I saw Sub Zero for the first time in Mortal Kombat 3. Like that blew my mind. Like, oh my god, he's not wearing a mask no more. Mm. He left. What is it, Shao Kahn? Yeah, he left that group. But I always mained him, and I put somebody off with Sub Zero when Mortal Kombat 3 first came out. Later on, everybody found out about a certain character by the name of Cabal. And if you figured it out, if you figured it out, you can do it so that this person never hits the ground. And I pulled that off once.
Nice.
And that motherfucker was hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one time, like, in the summers, I would go to Florida, and my mother lived in Boca Raton, which is close to Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
And there was a Wilt Chamberlain's.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
I put this one on.
Did it have 10,000 arcade games?
No.
No?
Okay. Actually, had a whole lot, though.
It did?
It had the cool thing is, it had a fucking half court built into it.
Really?
Yeah, like, you'd open glass doors, and there was, like, a proper, like, half court fucking sitting there.
That's badass.
That is nice.
I mean, honestly, it probably wasn't really a scaled half court. You know, it was a small...
still cool for effect.
Yeah, yeah. It was fucking, like, and you could go in there. It didn't even cost anything. You could just go in there and fucking play basketball. But, it was probably really akin to, like, Dave & Buster's, where you could go get, like, food on one side, and then the arcades on the other side. But, there was a dude that had, and I can't remember if it was Mortal Kombat 2 or 3. It was the mid-90s, yeah. So, like,
it could have been either one.
You know, a lot of drugs, people. Yeah. Sorry. But, and the way my brain would like to tell you how it worked, like, if this was the movie portrayal of my life, I would have, like, you know, after this guy fucking running through people for 3 hours as kid, like, you know, I fucking beat him. And, like, stepped up to the challenge, all fucking Karate Kid, just, like, on screen. And, you know, the whole fucking place, like, you know.
Everybody cheers.
Yeah, the whole place is, like, erupting and cheers. And, like, you know, like, the fucking, the kid's, like, older sister's, like, blowing me. Like, you know, like, the whole thing would have been, like, you know, I'm, like, fucking, like, you know, guzzling a root beer. Like, while I'm getting a blowjob. Like, while still playing Mortal Kombat with one hand. Like, the truth of the matter is, I beat the dude. He acted like a fucking little bitch. Cried to mom. Lost the next round and didn't play the rest of the night. But I did get him off the fucking... After about a couple hours of him just sitting there, posted up, I did get him off there.
Nice.
And got zero fucking recognition for it. Like,
except for in your mind.
Yeah. Look, time and drugs turns that motherfucking experience into something magical.
I did it twice.
I would like to remember it my way.
I did it twice also... with Mortal Kombat. First one was Mortal Kombat 1. Mm. And I loved Sub-Zero as well. I was also, you know, I was actually pretty good with all the characters. But if I played in the arcade, I was either Scorpion or Sub-Zero. Mm. And this guy had probably been there for... He'd been there longer than I'd been there. And I'd been at the arcade for like 2 hours. I only had a couple dollars left. So I was like, I really want to play Mortal Kombat, but there's a line. Like, I don't feel like waiting. I'm gonna play something else. So I went and played another game, and I was like, I really want to play Mortal Kombat before I go home. So I was like, I'm just gonna save my last dollar. I'm staying waiting line. Like, five people this dude takes down, and like I said, he had been there since I was there. So I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna fucking. I just want to play. I don't care. I just want to play.
I thought he was just shit.
So we were playing. And he beat me the first round, and then I beat him the second round. And then, like, we're fighting round three, and it's, like, neck and neck. We're both, like, blocking everything, like, you know, taking each other's hits and all that shit. And I used a combo of, if I could freeze you, good, but if not, okay, I can get around it.
Right.
So, but my combo was a deep flip kick, which would put me on the ground, like, right afterward.
Yeah.
And you'd still be in the air. So then I would do a slide.
Yep.
And then a sweep. And if I could get off the uppercut or the roundhouse afterward, I would do that. So we were fighting back and forth. And he put me in danger. And he still had like an inch of health left. He was still in green. So I pull this fucking combo on him and it goes danger. And I hit him with ice and it said finish him.
Nice.
And I was like, are you kidding me?
Nice.
Because, like, the Genesis version, the health didn't take away when you froze them.
Yeah.
But in the Super Nintendo version, it did. Like, the Super Nintendo version was closer to the arcade, just didn't have the gore.
Yeah.
So, like, I froze him and it said, finish him. And I'm, like, frantically trying to pull the fatality off, but I'm shaking so bad because I beat him.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this happened.
I'm like, no!
Wasn't it, like, you know, I was thinking about that while we're sitting here talking, too. It seemed like, did you guys ever have to, like, did you guys ever catch the idiosyncrasy of somebody that picks Shang Tsung? Like, either the dude, if you were fighting somebody and he was Shang Tsung, you either knew that he was a noob or that he was the best motherfucker you've ever seen. Because you had...
he was going to use everybody.
Yeah, because he knew every fucking combo to every character and how to turn into him. Or you got the assholes like me that was like, well, I could do that. And then, like, you don't know how to turn into fucking anybody. And, like,
and you start spamming skulls out of the fucking ground, like, yeah.
But that was the cool thing about Shang Tsung. You didn't need to, like, I like Shang Tsung just because of his fireballs. Like, his fireballs were really kick ass.
Yeah, he was a good character in and of himself. But,
if you learned the other guys, great.
But, yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, he was the character that if you really put time into it and you really knew everybody, then the last place to go was him.
Yeah.
And then learn how to change into everybody.
You could be a beast.
And then it's just whoever the fuck you were fighting. I'm like, oh, nope, I got the person for that. Oh, nope, I got the person for that.
Well, before we wrap it up, do you guys have, like, any ones that you want to mention?
I was actually going to say something to piggyback off that real quick.
Go ahead, Dan, go ahead.
Do you guys remember when Mortal Kombat Trilogy came out for PlayStation?
Yes.
He just reminded me of how much I hated Shang Tsung in that game specifically.
Uh-huh.
Because every time you would transform, it would fucking load.
Oh, I forgot all about that. Ugh.
It would stop the game and fucking load.
Was there an option for that, though? I feel like there was a Shang Tsung option in that.
Oh, yeah, you could turn off.
You could turn it off.
You could turn off transformations. Morph, yeah. He could only morph into a certain number of people,
mm-hmm.
I think. And it was randomized, so it cut that out. But that used to piss me off so bad.
Oh, yeah, if you're going to do that, don't put it on the... Sony, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I don't know what the
playing fucking games off CDs and shit.
Yeah,
they only been out for 5 years. Fuck, play a roll.
All 8 megabytes of their RAM.
Trying to think of any of the other ones.
I just want to mention WrestleFest. That's like my favorite wrestling game, like ever.
Oh god, did they do Fire Pro Wrestling in the arcade? I can't remember.
I don't remember seeing it ever.
I remember playing the WrestleMania arcade game. God, that was terrible.
Which one was that? The one with like Bret Hart and Undertaker. And Bozo the Clown.
That one was fucking cool as shit. Yeah. No, I'm talking about like the old school one that like they ended up making into a really shitty NES port where the ring didn't even fit on the screen.
See, totally fucked up. Stayed away from them because unless I'm on acid, I can't play a wrestling game.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because it was the only time the first time acid. I was on the first time I was on acid, I played wrestling all night at a friend's house. So yeah, I was like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, well, these games are fucking awesome. And then I like saw it the next day, and I was like, this game's not great.
God, I can't remember any of them now. And there were so many I used to play.
There were a lot of good ones. There were a lot of good ones.
I played a lot of the light gun games. Time Crisis.
Yeah, Time Crisis is a good
time
one.
Time Crisis,
House of the Dead.
Outlaws, House of the Dead.
Outlaws is another one.
I used to play the fuck out of Cruising USA, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
God, that game was fun.
Dovetail off that Killer Instinct.
Yes. Yes. Killer Thank Instinct. You, K.I. Yes. I forgot all about that shit.
Supreme Combo.
I always thought, like, that one went too far to me. Like, I liked these, even arguably by the time it got to, like, MK3, like, I liked that in the original Mortal Kombat or, like, the original Tekken, like, people were inventing combos.
Yes.
They weren't built into the game.
Yeah, I like that too.
They were built into the game because people were already inventing them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you figured out like how somebody would bounce off of a wall or what would stick somebody like in a certain spot. Once it got to like Killer Instinct, it was just like I felt like to me at least Killer Instinct was the button mashers arcade game that wanted to feel like they were really good at combos. Mm-hmm. When if you really wanted to test somebody's mettle with combos, fight them in the original Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Or Tekken.
Or Tekken.
Yeah.
Because then you can actually see what the fuck somebody can do.
That's me with every fighting game.
Button Masher?
Yeah. Nice. I have no idea how to fucking
button
play.
Button Masher. Akari Warriors.
Yeah.
Contra.
Oh, man. I can't
Centipede.
Think of anything
Shout
now.
Out for my wife. Centipede. That's for shit.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to go ahead and close it off here, but we want to hear your arcade memories.
Well, we already did.
We want to hear more.
Okay, let's hear more.
Just because.
And I'm sorry, we can like read them off. I forgot what was happening this week, so
yeah,
we had to cut that short.
Basically, we just want to hear from you because we love you, and we couldn't be here without you.
Honestly, the community's been great, though. Like, yeah. I feel like everyone's starting conversations, people are talking, people are interacting. It's freaking great. Like, well, look, they're doing a great job.
Yeah, keep up the arcade thread, and then next week's show, we could do,
maybe we
can
start off the show with it.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
that'll be like the cold open.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because you know what's happening next week.
Until we forget we say that, and then fucking get right into the show.
What happened, Dad?
Well, either way, we want you to know that we appreciate your feedback. Thank you for dropping us a line on the Facebook page. Keep it coming. You know Russ to find us, and I'll remind you at the end of the show.
We're not done yet.
I know.
Okay.
That's why I said I'll remind you at the end of the show.
Yeah, then we did this before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
Sorry.
I got it. All right, Matt.
Oh, shit's time.
Let's get it.
I wasn't sure if we were going to do one this week.
Yeah, let's do it.
Artistic telekinesis. Oh, yeah, I remember this one. It's an easy answer. It shouldn't take long. Let us assume that you have the ability to telekinetically change culture while you are actively experiencing it. Your mind can now dictate what you see and hear. For example, if you're listening to Pearl Jam's Yield and you want the music to be heavier, it will immediately sound as though Mike McCready's guitar has been tuned differently in the studio. If you were watching The Office on NBC and decided Jim should marry Pam or Karen or both, you can make it happen. All you would need to do is think about that specific desire. You could stare at an oil painting and unconsciously change the color contrasts. If a PG-13 romantic comedy grew dull, you could force it to evolve into an eroticized NC-17 thriller. You could essentially write books as you read them, eliminating certain characters and redirecting plot points as they occur in the text. However, such changes would only apply to your experience. You could kill off Han Solo at the end of Return of the Jedi, but that would not change the movie for anyone else. All other people would possess the same personal psychic powers as you. Would you want this ability? And if this became reality, would art retain any meaning whatsoever? I say, get this fucking pill the fuck away from me.
No and no.
Yeah, I don't want this. And there's a couple different reasons. Number one, nobody else experiences exactly what you experience unless they want to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because technically it's like the whole like truth is perception concept.
So I can't discuss my experience with anybody because it's different.
And isn't that part of the fun in taking in art?
Yeah.
And I feel like the 8-year-old and everybody would want that.
Yeah.
Like, well, when I saw Empire Strikes Back, and I've said this before on, like, multiple shows, sometimes I just grab people off the street and just scream it. But, you know, like, don't you agree with me? But, you know, when I said, as a childhood memory, like, I was pissed off that Luke didn't go with Darth Vader. I'm like, dude, it's fucking, like, it's a good deal. Don't stress about the hand. He knows how to do it. He's got one. He's got your back. Look, hang out with your dad for a little while. You've been hanging out in the fucking desert with some weird-ass sand people. Let's fucking hang out in space. Knows what he's doing. He's mostly robot, and he still managed to be like the baddest motherfucker in all three of these movies. Give him a chance. And he wouldn't do it. So like the 8-year-old in me would like to see that pan out.
Right.
But the minute you control it, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, like it's exactly.
It's kind of like why when you hear actors talk about how like they'll act in movies, but then they won't go see that movie because it doesn't mean anything to them. Like, and it's what I've said to you before, like privately, where it's like being in the movie business would be cool, except for the idea that you might lose all the magic out of movies.
Right. No, totally.
And I like being the ignorant consumer in that respect. I like, you know, there's nothing more I love than like childhood memories of, you know, running through like the Led Zeppelin albums and like getting my like first listen on like a new album because I'm doing it because I'm like, I want to hear this shit. and hearing a song that like you'd never heard before and being like, this fucking song, I don't know if it's going to be for 5 minutes or for 10 years, but this fucking song is my favorite fucking song right now. Yeah. Like, all that's gone.
That goes away.
Well, and like, we're talking about movies and movies and books specifically. The Star Wars reference is made. If you change any of the plot points, there's more story after, even after the end of the movie or the book. Mm-hmm. That author probably wrote another book in the series, or obviously there's more Star Wars movies. So no matter what you change, you're going to have to continue to change those other movies for them to make sense to you, for you to enjoy them.
Well, see, I think it's more like, I mean, the way I like read that question, it's more like subconscious. Like, you're not sitting there watching.
You're not trying to do it. It's like when you're watching a TV show and something pops in your head, all of a sudden that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it. But still, like, that's going to ruin your enjoyment of whatever experience you're having. And my last reason, and I'll let you take it from me, Kev, my last reason being, when I draw or paint or craft something, most of the time it turns out the way I intended it, and it's the way I want everyone to see it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I've drawn a whole bunch of shit, and Virginia can attest to this with the drawing I gave to her. I can point out at least 14 or 15 different things that I don't like about it, small little details that I would like to change or fix or add to.
Well, then congratulations, because I think you're an artist. Yeah. You're just a narcissist, or you're just a fucking egomaniac if you like look at a picture that you did and you're like, this is perfect.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Nothing like, I never think that anything that I do is perfect, but I like the end result enough to show to people.
Yeah.
And if I knew that they could do that, they could change my work, and like maybe they see the same imperfections that I do and they just fix them, or maybe mm-hmm. they're like, nope, the color's all fucking wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, like, no, I would not appreciate that at all.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying, and I don't think I'd want this ability either. But going back to something you said earlier, Jack, about how you can't discuss anything if people all have different experiences. I mean, as much as they're criticized on this very show, Telltale Games prove that wrong. That is part of our medium, and probably specific to video games more than anything else. But there's a lot of things that you can do in a game that I'm never going to see something that you did in Telltale, because we might have two totally different choices. And that's something that people like discussing about when they get to that point, because it's like, oh, I didn't even know that was a thing. How the hell did that happen?
I mean, unless you're a fucking asshole like either of us, and we just have to play Mass Effect 800 times because we want to experience.
Well, to be fair, I played that game 800 times probably, and I still didn't see much of a difference other than, oh, instead of being a dude this time, I'm playing the chick.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's, or, like, or Rex not, died or didn't, which there's only one right answer to that. Rex lives.
It's not, but like, in that medium, or like, you know, go a generation back in like the choose your own adventure games, there's a hint of choice, but like, choice is still a direct line.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, not subconscious, off the cuff, like, you know, I'm sitting there watching like Chuck and Larry. Like that fucking stupid Adam Sandler movie. And I'm like, wait a second. Like, you know, if they really want to convince people that they're gay, they should fuck each other. And then all of a sudden, like, TV is like them two actually, like, you know, it's a really fucking. Out. Yeah, like, that's a different. It's a different animal.
I think I see what Chuck's trying to do here. Art is a drug, then.
Yeah.
Art would be a drug. It wouldn't be a medium. Art would be something that you would discuss the effects. Like he said, Chuck and Larry. He would get Chuck and Larry on Redbox. I would get Chuck and Larry on Redbox. And he would watch it. I would watch it. And on Monday morning around the water cooler, he would talk about how Chuck railed out fucking Adam Sandler or whoever the fuck.
Yeah.
And I would talk about how they both killed each other in the first 10 minutes of the movie. Yeah. Because I hate Kevin James and Adam Sandler. But
it's kind of why I brought it up. I was like, what are the worst two characters?
Yeah. Like, and I think I have that movie, don't I? I think
I have. Oh, no. Yeah, I think you're fucking, your addiction is a fucking sickness, and it needs to stop.
But I think that's what he was trying to get at. Like, we wouldn't be able to discuss art as the medium, as a static thing, we would discuss what experience we had with it, almost like an LSD trip.
But at the same time, do the people creating the art even fucking, you know, it's like at that point.
But it's the muse. It's the jump off point.
Yeah, yeah.
That could be complete polar opposites. Like the artist could be like completely ignored for whatever piece of work, music, film, whatever, because the individual is manipulating it to their own accord. Or the artist could be just exalted and revered because it was the catalyst to this epic experience. Yeah.
To be fair, though, isn't all art interpreted differently by people already?
Yeah.
Like the people that go to like those like big art galleries and see these ridiculous paintings that some people buy for exorbitant amounts of money. Like I might go look at it and be like, I ain't paying that much money for that.
It's a white canvas. I'm not paying $2 million for a white canvas. Respect,
the next person that walks up and be like, this is magical, I must have this.
Right.
Like, technically, we already do that. It's just...
Those people are just weird.
You don't subconsciously will see, like... Just because you subconsciously see that happening in that movie, at this point in our lives, you're just like, I hate that movie. I don't... It's never going to happen the way you subconsciously pictured it in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, you hated that movie, somebody else liked that movie. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean either of you is right or wrong, it's just...
I think I'm right.
I'm pretty sure you are right. It's the point.
The point I'm making
is like...
Not somebody, often.
You could read Game of Thrones and love it, and Jack could read Game of Thrones and think it's shit.
Yeah.
He likes the show, but the book might not be for him.
Well, look, I'm doing that right now. People were hating on the last season of the TV show. And I fucking love the shit out of it. I've been waiting 7 seasons for it to get to the point where they all shut the fuck up about politics and start killing each other.
But guess what? If we had this power, you would have seen dragons in season 2.
Yeah.
So
fuck,
I mean,
the show would have been over already.
I mean, it's kind of like. I get the question. I get, like, subconsciously.
I'm just saying that's what Klossman is trying to go for.
Technically, everyone already sees it that way. You may not physically be able to change it where you don't see anything different than the other person, but what you see moves you, what you see doesn't.
I see your point.
Yeah.
My worry with it is that not everybody, like, it's almost like the Ratatouille, the movie. Like, where, you know, like, the whole thing in that movie is, like, you know, anybody can be a chef.
Yeah.
And it's, like, the real interpretation of that is, like, not everybody can be a chef, but a chef can be anybody. Where it's, like, that's, like, art. Like, I could have never came up with the concept for Star Wars. No. But, like, so, like, that's where you need art. Like, you know, the things that are the things that move me were other people taking from what they knew and making something new out of it. And then, you know, me being a kid and being like, this is fucking crazy. Like, I love this, or I love this album, or I love this picture for whatever reason.
There's a difference between...
I think when you get to change it, you might not very well, you're probably not as good as the movie director making the movie you watch, or the artist painting what you're looking at, or the, you know, like, I play guitar. I'm not fucking Jimmy Page. Yeah. Like,
I get what you're saying, but I feel like if this was, you change it for everybody, that would be a bigger deal. If this is everybody has that same ability, it doesn't change anything from what we have right now, because the person who created it is still going to see it the way they created it. You're going to see it the way you wanted to interpret it, and the person next to you is going to see it the way they wanted to interpret it.
I'm going to even take it. This is the last time I'm going to talk about this. You guys can keep going. It's almost like going to a city, and whether or not you experience the city on your own or you have a sightseer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have somebody that tells you, like, you should check out this museum, and I'm going to take you to this museum, and you should see these works of art. And you may go to that city and basically not do anything. Like,
yeah.
You may not see all the things that this city really holds.
You sit in a hotel room and go on one shitty highway.
Yeah.
and now, never experienced anything.
Both people both went to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
But that experience is totally different.
Yeah. When I was a kid, my whole family went to Chicago, went to a Six Flags, and that was it.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything else in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't remember it at all. Yeah. I remember going to a Six Flags. It's like...
You can say you went to Chicago, but...
Yeah, where a different family went to Chicago and fucking went to, like, museums and went downtown and ate here and did this cool thing. And that, yeah. Where, like, I didn't get any of that. We went to a Six Flags for a day and then left. And it's like, you know... And I kind of get that. I just... I would be worried that if this experience... Like, this experience would make everything that I love worse.
Yeah.
There's a difference between interpreting and manipulating. And I think that this is borderline manipulating.
Are we still reading them? Because I know you said something about...
Yeah, no, we're going to read them.
Okay.
No. Like I've said 100 times to everybody, my opinion should always be heard and never followed through with. It is an opinion to be there and then to ignore and then do something better. All right. Next week's is the industry standard. Let's see. You are inside a very peculiar rock club. For whatever the reason, the manager of the club demands that all of his musical acts must take an extensive IQ test before he will allow them to perform. Tonight, there are two acts on the bill. They coincidentally share the same band name, the Industry Standard. Both bands are alleged to be awesome. Sadly, you only have 1 hour to spend at the club due to another obligation. And the intermission between the two acts is very long, so you can't watch both. You ask the manager which version of the Industry Standard you should watch. I have no idea, he says. But I will tell you this. The first band had the highest test scores I've ever seen, anywhere. Each member of the band is technically a genius. One guy scored higher than Marilyn Vos Savant. Conversely, the band playing second had some of the worst scores ever recorded. One member might actually be illiterate. However,
Floyd Mayweather's there?
Right. 50 Cent's calling him out.
That's savage.
However, I halfway suspect they were all drunk and mocking the entire process. I couldn't tell for sure. Which version of the Industry Standard do you decide to see?
That's a great question. That is a really good question.
I kind of want to spit something out. Not the answer, but yeah. I kind of want to spit something out right now.
That's a really good question.
Motherfucker. Okay. He's putting these people through an IQ test and can't even tell if they're drunk. Get the fuck out of here. All right. So look forward to that next week. We got a couple minutes?
No.
No? We going to call it now?
Yeah.
Yeah, call it.
All right. What you've been playing is nothing new anyway, really. Just prepping for Destiny.
Yep.
I'm playing shit that I got on sale. Came out years ago. Doesn't even matter.
So.
I'm sorry, Rabbits. I'm sorry. I will talk about you at another time. It is a good game, but I'll talk about you at another time.
Hey, it'll be next week.
Yeah, I know. I know.
All right, everybody. Thanks for coming by again. That is episode 127 of the 411 Gaming Podcast. I'm your man, Jackie Fingers. As always, you can find us online at 411gaming.com, 411gaming@gmail.com, and 411 Gaming on your favorite social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Dak's going to cut me off. What you got to say, Dak?
Stay tuned for bonus content after the show.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. We got a little bonus for you. Till then, we see you next time. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
100 away.
I'm out here with Tim.
Danny.
My name's Dan.
Jake Gold.
Hi, I'm Jared.
Jared, you're getting Destiny 2 for?
PlayStation 4.
PlayStation 4.
PlayStation 4.
How many hours? It's sad.
It's an addiction.
How many hours you say you put out?
At least 200.
200? Do you have any word?
As long as they fix the drop rates, I'm fine.
All right, cool deal. All right. Give me a bubble shield and a shotgun and I'm all good.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I am so hyped to try out Sentinel again.
Oh,
I love that.
What's your main?
Warlock.
Why am I asking a dumbass question? You should see this outfit. This dude has the freaking Warlock cloak on. You should see this. I might actually have to take a picture of it. So you playing tonight?
Oh, fuck yeah.
All right, so if you haven't gotten it already, you might want to turn off the show for the next 45 minutes. We are going to talk about Destiny 2.
No, they should stick around. Because if they haven't gotten Destiny, they may need to be talked into it.
For the puppies.
Or talked out of it.
I don't know, dude.
Why? What the fuck?
I'm just saying.
I think
disregard what he just
everybody,
said.
Everybody should listen.
No, look, truth though, I think the worst, look, if anybody's talked out of it, they're talking themselves out of it.
Well, I'm going to say this right now. Your opinion should be fucking null and void.
Hey, it should be, but it's not. It's weird. It's fucking totally weird how that works.
I have a mic, bitch.
But, yeah.
This motherfucker goes home and buys Destiny.
You know what really sold him on it was that For the Puppies trailer. That was it.
No. Yeah, I haven't even looked into that yet.
Real talk. It was, I've said this before on the movie show. This is what did it. I know what fucked me on Destiny last time.
Expectations?
And look, and I will wholly admit when I'm wrong, and I was wrong.
No.
Oh, listen.
Okay. All right.
Let me finish. Can I finish? Right. Please let me finish.
I'm going to let you finish, but...
Can't finish. No, like, what fucked me on Destiny was my... I got too deep into it. Like, I was getting pissed off when things were nerfed. I was getting pissed off that they were changing this. The truth of the matter is, everything that's in there that people don't like about it is optional. You don't have to do any of that.
Yep.
What you had told me when we got into an argument about it was like, look, I don't give a fuck. I still play it. I like what I play, so I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And that is the attitude that I took, that I'm taking this time. Like, look. Why did I fucking love a game so much that when it would change and I didn't agree with it, I was ready to boycott it? Because at the end of the day, when I was playing the game, not when I was thinking about it, not when I was fucking critiquing it, when I was playing the game, I was enjoying it. So my D2 take is fucking Battlefield 1 for all I care.
Yeah.
Like, I'll play it. Like, you know... And I'll play it until I find something else to play, or fucking, you know, like, or don't. It doesn't matter. Like, I'll play it. I'm not getting fucking wrapped up into the politics of Destiny. And I can already see people, and look, to each their own. I'm not saying they shouldn't, but, like, I'm already seeing people on Facebook talk themselves out of buying it. Or, you know, wanting, like, hard explanation of why things are the way they are. When it's like, you know, like the big thing shader. That I was seeing was like the shaders. Yeah. Like, people were already fucking up in arms about it. And I'm like, who the fuck said you have to use shaders?
Yeah.
I'm gonna get to that later on.
No, let's do shaders now, get that out of the way.
All
right. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like the new setup.
I don't like it.
Nobody has to like the setup, but I think the thing
I'm eating pizza while we're doing this.
No, like,
I think the thing that people are pissed off more about is the fact that the primary way to get them, outside of completing certain quests early on in the game, is Eververse.
Okay, like, I'm going to stop you right there. I get them dropped all the fucking time, so I don't know what people are bitching about.
Yep.
I'm not level 20 yet.
I get them dropped from public events. I get them dropped from VIPs. I get them dropped from random fucking chests sometimes.
Remember when we had all those, like, elements, not elements, those things that we had to farm last go round?
Yeah. That's all gone.
No, I mean, like, look at how much we had.
But they work differently.
End of the game.
Right, exactly.
You mean like
when
people would have to do the first section of the fucking Crota raid by themselves to get one fucking element to buy something?
Yeah.
Like I did, and it would take like 6 weeks to buy one thing,
and that shit sat in your freaking vault.
All right. So here's the deal. We'll talk about the shaders, and then I'm gonna jump into it from the start.
Yeah.
And we'll go through.
I just want to get the bad news out of the way.
So the shaders. If you're listening to this part of the show to get some idea of why you should buy Destiny 2 or if you should buy Destiny 2, we're going to go through the whole thing from our experience so far.
Quit being a bitch, goodbye.
We'll talk about the shaders real quick and we'll get it out of the way.
Coming from the first bitch of the group.
Oh yeah, make bad decisions.
He admitted it.
So,
bad decisions for the win.
So the shaders work differently this time around. They are individually applied to each piece of equipment. Yep. It's not a shader that changes your overall appearance. They can be swapped in and out at any time, provided you have shaders on you. Once you use a shader, it's used.
Gone.
Mm-hmm.
It is a consumable.
Yes. Typically, when you get shaders, you get them 2, 3, 4 at a time.
Yep. I've only seen 3.
Of the same one.
Yeah.
So you can build your whole outfit with the same shader, so it's uniform, and that's my gripe about it. It's not uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually we're gonna be holding the same gear for a long time. Oh, so yeah, it won't be a problem then.
Mm-hmm.
Until the next expansion comes out, and that gear looks bad.
Right, exactly. So the biggest problem that I have with it, with how shaders work now, is like I have fucking purple boots with a blue coat and a fucking orange helmet. Like it looks like you fucking went Goodwill shopping.
Yeah.
You know, like it wasn't. Yeah.
Get that come up.
What?
Calm down, Macklemore.
It wasn't as cool as like just hitting the shader and you know the old Destiny shaders had the colored square with a ring on the inside, and then a ring inside of that ring.
Mm-hmm.
It gave you the idea of what the main colors were, what the supplementary colors were, how they were going to fall on your outfit.
I'm going to debunk that a little bit. And this is why I like the way it is now.
Okay.
The reason why I like the way it is now is because, do you remember how many shaders we got, whereas we were like, yeah, the Dead Orbit shader is supposed to be black and white, but I don't like the fact that the boots are white. I'm really not crazy about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. It's like,
I'll deal with it. My coat's black. Everything else is black.
Okay.
That's fine.
Bitch, it's after Labor Day.
White. Yeah, exactly. You know the rules.
I get it.
So, it gives us a little bit more customization.
No, I get it.
I get it.
I agree. It shouldn't be a consumable.
That's exactly it.
Here's the other side of that.
It shouldn't be a consumable, but as long as they're dropping as much as that you guys say they are at your level, because I'm not there yet, it may not be a problem, except for I would feel a lot better about it if they gave you the shader and you put it on your boots and you customized it the way you wanted, and then you'd be like, all right, well, you know what? I want to change this. I don't like the way this looks now because of something else. I want to pull it off and put it back. So you don't waste that one that you had.
No, I agree
because
with you on that. Yep.
Before, when it wasn't a consumable, yeah, you didn't like that. Say they give you a shader and they put it all in there, and then they give you this other version of the shader where you could customize the items with it.
Mm-hmm.
That I'd be okay with. But some of those things are really hard to get, and it's like you burn it on something that you're like, this looks good now. Then the armor comes out or gets changed in the next expansion, and you just lost that thing you worked a hard time to get.
See,
they figured out a way to make money.
It's not the common ones.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the common ones that I have a problem with. The ones that are dropping all the time. It's when you get into those legendary ones that are a bitch to get.
Oh, you mean like the raid ones?
Yeah.
That's the biggest issue here. That to me, like buying it and everybody crying about it the biggest issue is they need to figure out what to do with raid.
Oh, look.
I would have no problem with them selling shaders if they sold you shaders. They're selling you blind packs, and you're like,
selling you,
oh, okay, you might get the one you want after you spend about $50, maybe, and you might only get one, and you need 3 or something like that.
Well, what that boils down to is you don't have to spend the money. That's your choice.
I get it.
That's kind of
you don't have to.
Look,
but if they gave you the option to, like, I only got 3 and I need 2 more, I'm going to go buy 2 real quick and complete my set.
I know what you're saying.
You can't do it.
See, all right, that's my thing. If they drop, the honest way to do it, even if it is a consumable, if they drop 5 of them. So that way you can change your whole set.
Yeah.
So you're not waiting for the second drop.
Yeah, I will agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, that's the fit. Like,
not 3.
When you see 3, you're like, wait a second.
That's
what
not
are
my
you
whole
doing?
Outfit. I can't change the gun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To the second point, look, we were just talking about this outside. When I started Destiny 1, I was like, you know what? Fuck shaders. That black and white shit is hard.
Yep.
I'm going for Dead Orbit. I already saw fucking, and now I don't have the specifics on how to get it because it looks like it's all random drop, but like, I already saw a fucking Titan armor set, a legendary set on Earth, I think, from that guy. The guy that sounds like Jorah on fucking Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Devrim.
It
sounds like him.
I'm not sure if it's the same guy, but that motherfucker sounds exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like, aren't you like chasing fucking Daenerys' pussy somewhere? why you got a gun in your hand? But there's an armor set there that I'm like, that shit looks dope the fucking way it is.
Yeah.
So like, even though I understand the gripes, me, goat D2, new model, fucking
new me.
Yeah, like I don't like buy the shit you like. Like, you know, or not, you know, maybe buy is like, because I don't know how to purchase things yet like that. And I'm not saying to buy it with, like, your actual own money.
Yeah.
But, like, find ways in-game to get it.
Well, there are ways. They give you a bright, is it bright? The other Engram?
Yeah, you get bright Engrams that you take to test, and you decode them, and they give you things like emotes, shaders. I got a legendary sparrow out of one.
Yes, all cosmetic things.
Yeah.
And this is my gripe. This is my gripe with everyone's complaint. We've always given microtransactions a pass if it's a customization. And why is it wrong here?
I think it's because...
It's because you can't get it back.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but
that's the only part.
That's it.
That's the only part. Okay.
You can't get it back.
But it's also the fact that I don't recall, and I didn't follow everything that closely up to release. I don't know if you guys did. They told you all about the quality of life changes they made. Like, you know, the guided games, the director being, you don't have to go back to orbit all the time. All these things everybody was hyped about. I don't remember them ever... anybody ever knowing about anything like changing like this, which it's not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. It's not a quality of life improvement, except for Bungie and Activision.
I mean, that look.
And I think that's what people were like, oh, look, I got a shader like I did when I saw that one dropped. And I'm like, oh, click. Nothing's happening. Why can't I put this on? What the fuck? And then I read it and heard it on other podcasts that it's a consumable item you put on each individual piece. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, that kind of sucks.
It's honestly, for me, it's tedious because you got to go in and change it for each piece. And this is petty shit that we're talking about here. I'll admit
I'm just glad. I feel like everyone has said that at least once.
It's petty shit. It's petty as fuck. But that's how we are as gamers. Especially when we've been...
I'm not. Not anymore. Fuck this shit. You guys complain about fucking anything you want.
Wait,
this game is awesome.
Wait till he gets his first exotic fiction gets nerfed.
Right, everybody stop talking.
Yeah, let's
we've been talking talk about shaders too fucking long.
All I'm going to say is everybody that's talking about the shaders, you're focusing on the wrong thing. Yeah.
So, all right. The game opens up. You pick your character, which they've brought over from Destiny 1. It is the only thing they brought over. It is your character's appearance. And that is your... I'm going to say it because I don't give a fuck about triggering anybody. Your sex and or gender, your race, and the actual appearance, mm-hmm. the color scheme that you made for your guardian. That's what comes over, and you start in the base outfit of the game.
Yeah.
The game boots, and you are taken on a memory lane journey of your Destiny 1 conquests. And that was the coolest fucking thing they could have done. Exactly. That was the coolest fucking thing they could have done to bring you back into the Destiny world with a brand new adventure. They could have easily tried to, like, cut a generic video together of, you know...
They didn't have some shit.
Of you going into the Black Garden mm-hmm. and defeating the Heart and then taking Crota down... And then taking Skolas down. They could have done a generic montage. Or like you said, they could have just not done nothing.
And look.
But this was so fucking cool because it's a still art frame. It's not even like game models. It's an art frame.
Motherfucker's not even color. It's black and white. And that shit is the coolest fucking shit I've ever seen in a game that doesn't move.
It was an art frame and like, it had the...
I was screenshotting that shit.
Oh, I screenshotted mine.
It had the fire team members that were with you and when each of those moments happened. That was cool as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my only gripe is that the one that Tom from the podcast posted that you were on, mm-hmm. the whole Vault of Glass thing, it should have given a little animation of me strutting by everybody with that fucking glowing shader on that I had that day because I had beat Crota like the night before on fucking hard.
How'd you get that?
Yeah, and I
How'd
like look. That? I show up. I'm like, we're gonna do this Vault of Glass shit. I strut by everybody. Everybody's like, damn, what is that?
Is it glow who?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh man!
For like 5 minutes, everybody was like, man, that is the shit.
Oh, that's why everyone's mad about the shaders.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's going to be a problem.
So
that part's going to be a problem.
So then we move into the game proper, and it plays out just like it did in the beta or the E3 footage if you watched that, or if you didn't watch and or play either. You go through the homecoming mission, and you meet Gaul, and then your real journey begins. I have to say that I was very happy with how they handled getting your light back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool.
It wasn't some stupid fucking trope where he kicks you off the ship and you die, and then your ghost or someone else's ghost still miraculously has light, or the traveler does something miraculously to give you your light back.
I agree that it wasn't that canned or corny, but there really wasn't a lot to the story of getting it back. It's you just miraculously happen to find a shard of the Traveler somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
But I will say this. It does explain how important the light is to you.
I get that. I get that.
I don't think that was ever explained.
Oh, yeah, it's better than like the God of War stuff in the past, or the Samus stuff in the past for Metroid,
yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, look at all the cool shit you got.
Right,
you'll get it back later in some better stuff because you went through the story.
Right.
But it's like, oh, you don't have light because it took it away, and a person who came to conquer the Traveler just somehow doesn't know there's a giant shard of it somewhere else on Earth.
But he doesn't know. Why would he know?
They didn't know.
I mean, you spent all this time planning to come here. How the hell did you not figure out there's another thing emanating the light that you're trying to protect somewhere else? It's a plot hole. It's not the biggest thing in the world.
Hold on.
It's just a small plot hole.
I can explain this shit. Why?
Look over here.
Why?
That's what he did. That's what happened. Look over here. Yeah. The Traveler is right there.
I would say, this is like if you had a fucking ounce of weed on the table, you ain't paying attention to that fucking dime bag on the other table.
Exactly.
Look, it's a small...
Man, give me that ounce.
If you want to call it
a dime bag, put that shit back for later.
What sucks is the ounce is garbage weed.
Yeah. Dime bag's pretty good.
If you want to call it a plot hole, call it a plot hole. I'm not going to argue with you. I think it's actually pretty cool because the way I interpreted it was that the Traveler was calling out to you, using the light to call out to you and guide you to the shard to get you your light back.
Because
nobody knew it existed except for the people outside.
True. Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying. It's just there could have been, I feel, more story to it. It wasn't bad.
See,
it wasn't
like
god awful. It's just like the whole crux of getting your power back was kill a couple fallen and touch a stone.
And I'm fine with that because I feel like if they had thought too hard on it, it would have been a shitty fucking story.
Yeah.
It would have been a really shitty story.
Yeah, it could have gone back the other way. But.
All right. So you get your light back, and this is where we start getting our new powers. The first one that you get is obviously class specific. I'm not sure what order they do them in for the other characters. I've only played through it with my Warlock.
The Titan starts with the new Captain America shield.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I assume that they weren't going to go all solar across the board for everybody. So you get your main class power back.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not sure what triggers the other ones. I've just been
all
finding them randomly.
Public events. So what'll happen is after you reach a certain level, you'll see it in your, what is that new menu called in the director? Your milestones?
Yeah.
Like
the L2?
Yeah.
But you pick it up in the world.
No, I've never picked it up in the world.
I've gotten both of mine in the world.
You go back.
I've gotten them from chest.
Yes. If you're saying it's public events, it's probably the loot chests at the end that are triggered by a certain level that you reach.
There's something that puts it in your milestone, and you have to complete public events with other guardians to a certain percentage.
Yeah, or that's just, what I saw,
then,
too.
Or then
just,
you go back to the shard of the
or
Traveler.
Or just kill things in the world is what it says.
I've never seen that. It's always,
and
I,
weeds,
always public
fellas,
events.
And the weeds,
it doesn't matter.
Go.
Doesn't matter. So, you get your new powers, and then you have to attune those powers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll go and play. Sorry if this is a spoiler for you. I don't really think it is. You know you're going to get your fucking powers back. Then you go and play through just like we did when we got our third subclass in Taken King.
Yeah.
You play a mission that takes you to a kill room. You get your power, and then they give you the boundless light for you to fuck shit up with it.
Mm-hmm. That shit was awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
And I do like that they didn't hold back, at least, because there was a point when I was playing where I was like, because for the Titan, you start out with Void.
Yeah.
Which typically I feel like in vanilla Destiny 1,
it was terrible.
Well, it was Arc, wasn't it?
Well, you could switch between power. Them. Because you think you
were
two.
You were given two in the beginning of Destiny.
Yeah, it was Arc.
You couldn't use
it was Arc and Void for Titan.
Yeah, you couldn't use the other one until you reached like level 6.
Oh, okay.
And then you could switch between the two freely.
Yeah.
But depending on which one you had equipped was the one that gained the XP.
I mean, I really like the fact that I've been playing for a couple days, and both of them are pretty much fucking... I think I can need, like, one more skill point, and then they're, like, maxed.
And the cool thing is, obviously, you're going to need to be able to max out all three.
Yeah.
So that you can use all your powers. So the adventures throughout the world will give you your other upgrade points to level your shit up.
And it's like some of them are, you know, rare items, and then other adventures are skill points.
Right.
And you're
right.
Like, oh, okay, it's cool. So I know exactly what I'm going after.
I gotta go do.
When I go take this mission.
Is anyone else even just slightly disappointed that they dropped the level cap back down to 20?
No.
Not at all. Because, look, I don't have any of my old shit anyway.
Out of curiosity, just generally speaking.
I almost feel like what they're doing is they took that straight from vanilla.
Destiny. 20 was the original
cap.
That's
just what it is.
Yeah, but I mean, when Destiny 1 ended, you could go up to 40. Now, I'm not saying they should have given you straight 40 because there's
but
a lot more
content.
You
go straight to 40. With each expansion pass, you win another 10.
And your light was taken from you
in
the beginning of this game, so you're starting over.
Which is also ironic because everybody said there's no light in this game. There's light in this game. It's just called something else.
It's called
now.
Power.
Yeah. I'm like, everybody's like, they got rid of light, everybody. It's solved.
You got the touch.
Well,
no.
That's because of the whole etheric light from...
Stop bringing up bad words
all that
from
shit.
The past.
Yes. Stop saying bad stuff.
Gjallarhorn.
All right.
Actually, did anybody catch that joke during the...
Yeah, okay. That was pretty cool.
Like, where it was like, oh, you know, I mean, talk about something special, like Gjallarhorn.
But okay, you're going through the story. Let's fast track.
Yeah.
Overall, with the story, what they did with the story, I feel like they did an okay job.
Yeah.
A lot better than the first one.
That's where I was going to move to next. I wasn't very impressed with the story.
No.
I
tried to talk, because I played through it with Tom the other day, and Tom enjoyed everything that he played.
No, I did too.
And I did too. But
I did
I
too.
I was able to separate. I was like, the story was okay.
So here's what happened.
Playing with him was great.
Yeah.
Here's what happened, in my opinion, with Destiny 2 and the story. Air quotes. They gave you enough of plot to justify putting you through a quote-unquote campaign to get you to level 20, to then release you into the actual game. This is how I'm viewing it.
Well, yeah, it's a Call of Duty thing.
Well, no.
Right.
It's all
a Destiny thing.
Because when you can't
tomato,
do
tomato.
You can't do some of the adventures. You can try, but you can't do all of them unless you are a certain power level.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, guys.
There you go.
And there are also lost sectors that you can't do unless you're a certain power level. So, in my opinion, they gave you enough story missions to get you to level 20 and pretty much max out two of your class abilities and then let you loose in the world. And now it's up to you. Go off and do the public events. Go off and do the adventures, go explore the lost sectors, look for the region chests, go play your strikes and your crucible, and do your meditations with Ikora, all that shit.
Where you're at is what I want to jump into real quick, and that's one of my gripes with Destiny 2. I wish... Your fucking phone, Kevin.
It's driving everybody nuts.
Dude, you have been fucking us with that phone
for like two hours.
Oh, I'll give him a break.
Oh my God, Jack defended me. I'm surprised he didn't skewer me.
Shut the fuck up, Kevin.
My only issue with Destiny 2, as far as the story and the single player, is I want the single player to feel as robust as a Halo, whereas it can stand alone. Like, that's what I want to feel with that game.
I understand where you're coming from.
Me personally, I don't give a shit, because I don't care about that part. I think you would sell a lot more copies. You have a lot more people interested, because there are so many people that know what Destiny's about. Play through the story, get max light, then the raid. A lot of people want to play the raid and have no interest in the story. Mm. A lot of people aren't interested in the stuff after the story. I think if you had a solid story, whereas people would buy this game, have no problem with playing it, and maybe they get hooked up.
I understand where you're coming from, but right now the structure of the game is
I know.
Post game.
Yeah, that's what
it's everything post game. Which, let's talk about that.
Let's get to that.
The post game content in Destiny 2 is by far 300% more robust than Destiny 1 had to offer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm like, I'm borderline...
overwhelmed.
I'm borderline like how, like, you guys would talk about how Tom, like, can't fuck with big games sometimes because the map has too much shit on it. Like, I look at it and I'm like, I don't know where the fuck, like... I'm just going to start fucking fighting shit.
So
like, that's the way I play.
As you go through the game, as you go through the story campaign, each of the different worlds you visit will have approximately 4 to 5 adventures on the map as you're playing through the story. Mm-hmm. Once you play through the campaign, you finish the campaign, and you talk to everyone, then each map fucking just lights up with shit to do. And... this might just be, you know, me having a stroke, but I feel like I did some adventures and then new ones popped up.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
So I'm not sure if that's what happened or if I just didn't notice that one or not.
While we're talking about that, one thing I love, countdown timers to public events.
Yeah. Yes.
That fucking shit.
Yes.
Thank you so much that I actually know when the fuck something's going to start. And look, if you get there early, there's a flag there. And you can start it.
Yep.
If nobody started it, you can hold square or X on Xbox, if you're Kevin. But, or wait, is that X? Yeah, X.
Yeah, and it's actually everybody can do it.
Okay.
What happens is if you go up to the flag and you activate the flag, when the public event starts, it will automatically tell you you've joined. You don't have to shoot the enemies that come down like you did in the first game where it says, now you've joined the public event.
Yeah.
If you activate the flag, no matter where you are on the map,
mm-hmm.
it'll say you've joined the public event.
Ah, okay.
So that's pretty fucking cool.
Because looking for them in the first game was so fucking tedious.
Yeah.
Remember the apps?
Yeah. And exactly. The apps that would tell you like what the rotation was. Yeah. And then
And they were wrong.
Is neither here nor there now, but... you know, going forward, there's going to be something that you're going to get, whether it's an exotic weapon or an exotic, like, fucking armor piece or something that you're going to want that's going to be tied to get so many public events.
Dude, I'm just fucking public events up. Like, I get them all the time. But anyway, we'll keep on going through the content. There is a lot to do in the end game. And I'm going to be honest, it's not extravagant content. But that's to be expected. The Nightfall and the Raid are the real big events that we have.
Yep.
Trials is going to start soon, so if you're a multiplayer...
Trials of the Nine now.
Yeah. If you're a multiplayer enthusiast, you're going to go through Trials. But we don't have the Raid coming for another 2 weeks.
Bethesda's going to be suing somebody. It's coming, coming Wednesday.
Week. Roughly. Is it Wednesday already? Oh, wow.
Yeah,
All right. So, yeah. So, we had a week after launch... anyway, despite it not being like this, you know, super robust additional content, it's additional content and it's not just patrols.
Yeah.
The same 6 fucking patrols, you know,
That was, you know, the biggest problem with longevity with the first Destiny, especially before any, before any expansions, was, I have the Nightfalls, I can do strikes if I feel like it, and let me fucking just grind out patrols time after, because there's nothing else to do. At least here, and look, you know, there's 2 or 3 public events on the map at any given time, either about to happen, happening, or like just happened. There's, like Jack said, there's like 3 to 5 adventures per map.
Oh, they're more now. There's more now.
The freaking Lost Sectors is a
the big Lost Sectors.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about that. Yeah.
Lost Sectors and those region chests are cool. I wish there was a way to track your way to them, or at least track close to them so you can find them.
I think that's the point.
That is the point,
why it shows up that way, because it gives you an exploration element. Because everyone that I've bumped into where it's like, I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go look for it and... where's the fucking door?
Yeah.
Where exactly does it pop up? And there have been times where I've sat there for like 7 minutes, like jumping up, jumping down. Maybe there's a hidden door underneath.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole point of it, because they want you to discover this. They want you to find
it. I have no problem not with just, discovering it, but give me like some little hint sometimes. Well, because there's times where I've spent like a 20 minutes or something running around looking for something and leaving to go do a public event and coming back still trying to
figure it out. What I do?
What?
I position my player. I go into the map and I look at where my pointer is.
I do that too.
And I think that's the
you do know
an old school map.
You know to look for the painting, right?
Yeah, and the painting.
The painting will help for the lost sectors, but there's region chests that doesn't help.
Yeah, it's just a general
like the one that I found like that drove me nuts was Mac, the second part of the Titan. They had a chest that was dropped down to a ledge below you.
Yeah.
I must have ran around that area jumping up looking for this thing for at least 10 or 15 minutes. That was
the whole thing with the gold chest in Old Destiny, in Destiny Vanilla. Go ahead.
You can buy maps from Cade.
No, those are for, what kind of chest are those? Those aren't the gold chests. Those are...
And the region chests are already on your map.
Oh, okay.
They're the little crosses, not the half moons. Yeah. The half moons are the lost sector.
Yeah, the maps from Cade will give you...
Fuck if I know, dude. I've just been having a good time fucking running around, shooting shit, using powers.
The maps from Cade...
Have you played with anybody yet?
No.
Okay.
Now I've been solo... Because that's kind of my thing. I like wanted to see how far I could get soloing.
Right.
The maps from Cade will give you the locations of the randomly spawned loot chests.
Yes, that's what okay.
Which I kind of find weird because they're randomly spawned. But anyway,
it doesn't show up on your map. Like you're just walking around and you'll see a little like a little indicator. Beacon.
Yeah. Kind of so, like you do for the Red Legion loot chests or whatever that you can come across. They show up on the map.
Yeah, and there's armor that you can wear that'll within a certain radius, just like the tracker from the first game. Anyway, moving on, I have not touched anything outside of the single player experience and like being in the world and doing public events. I haven't touched Strikes. I have not touched Crucible. Mm-hmm. I have not done any of the meditations. I just finished one of the Cade missions. The
meditations are nothing. I feel like they're nothing but playing through the game.
Yeah, they are replaying story missions. Yeah. That's it.
Difficult, a lot more difficult.
That's it.
They're I was going to say, because I tried doing one and like was immediately failing. And I was like, I'm not good enough at this shit yet.
What are the things that pop up, like the three tasks you have to do on each world?
Those are challenges.
Those are challenges.
Yeah. I thought that was the meditation.
No, those are challenges, and they earn you...
what are that rep? That they rep, earn you rep coins?
They earn you rep... what the fuck were they called?
Tokens.
They're tokens, but they have reputation bundle. You go to Ikora after you finish the challenge, and you get a reputation bundle from her. And it just so happened my first one was coins for her.
No.
But the reason I haven't touched any of this other stuff yet is because there is still so much to do after beating the game.
Oh, yeah. Well, I haven't finished the game, and part of that is because I tried to go through and do the early like Crucible missions and did the Strikes for Zavala.
Mm-hmm. I did them too.
Has anybody else here tried Crucible yet?
Yes.
All right.
I played for like 6 hours.
This may be because I'm playing on. This may be because I'm playing on Xbox. But how has the matchmaking been for Crucible? Has it been quick or has it been kind of?
I haven't had any problems. I had a weird thing where, and what's crazy is I was messaging with someone that had the same issue. While it's trying to find players, the game would just bomb out.
See, I haven't had it bomb out, but what will happen is, and like I said, that might be because everybody's probably playing on PlayStation for the most part. It just sits there for a good long time, sitting at like one person, and then it'll slowly tick up. And then I think earlier today, one time, the game literally just froze in the middle of like searching for players and didn't go anywhere. But almost every time I go into Crucible to try anything, it's just... It'll sit there. Like, I can literally pull up my phone and start messing around with something on my phone and sit there.
And look
there.
Up, and you're still at two or four.
I don't know
if there's something wrong with the matchmaking.
I have yet to bump into anything like that except for the crashes. I might blame that on repeated play. My PlayStation has been working awful hard over the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Your new PlayStation.
Yeah.
fucking called him out.
But, I haven't noticed any issues with matchmaking, except for one time. It did take an unusually long time.
Okay.
And that could either be, like, people playing story a lot or whatnot. I get it, but it just seems like...
So
that's weird.
I find it hard to believe that there are so few people playing Crucible on the Xbox platform that you can't find a match. I feel like something's off there.
Something may be wrong.
Devil's advocate to your point. The game's crashed on me four times.
Really?
It's booted me to orbit each time.
What do you mean? Like, it didn't knock you out of the game? Like, it booted you to orbit?
Yeah.
Might be that Destiny connecting.
No, I got that one time.
Okay.
And it kept coming up every 5 to 6 seconds for, like, 8 minutes. It would have that banner that said connecting to Destiny servers.
Yeah.
And then it let me go. I was fine.
Yeah.
But I got booted to orbit, and then I got the error code, you know, for more help, go to Bungie.net, type in this code. But I was at orbit, and I could open the director and go right back to the game.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if it's just the sheer volume of players on the server or if they actually do have an issue. With that said, I would not be surprised if it is an issue because they could not get the app up and running until about 12 hours into launch.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like functionality is slowly appearing because the clan support just popped up
yesterday. Yesterday.
By the way, playing earlier today by myself, I earned us like half our XP for the first level.
Yeah, I did 2,000 alone myself.
So
yeah, I was just about to say like with the connection issues, I would like to talk. It does really seem like the clan itself in Destiny 2 actually will help the entire clan.
Yes,
regardless of whether you're playing.
Yes.
Strikes yep. with your clan members, or whether you're just doing what I'm doing and playing solo, or which is good. It's a good addition because it still makes you feel like, you know, when you see that 500 clan XP pop up, you're like, okay, I'm doing something for the clan also. Yeah, yeah. It's not just like, well, I belong to this clan and I'm just gonna fuck off and just do my own thing.
Or the other side, whereas there's a person that's not pulling their weight, but they're not as good as everybody else.
Yeah.
And they go and check in for that weekly Ingram drop.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh shit, I got freaking sweet business out of this. Maybe I should like play a little bit more over the next couple weeks
to
help out.
The one thing I don't know is what the difference between the different clan XP is, because I got one pop-up that said something clan XP, and then another one that said personal.
I can tell you exactly what that is. They shut you down. Like, they don't... Okay, and this is a perfect example. If they let me do it, we'd be full by now. So what they do is each person is responsible for so much.
Oh, okay.
You can only put in, I think,
$5,000.
Okay,
you can only put in 5,000... period.
So I don't understand what the difference is between personal clan XP and regular clan XP.
Because your personal clan is probably that 5,000,
mm-hmm.
and your 5,000 is in the whole clan XP.
The app says it all. Your characters can contribute a limited amount of clan XP per week. Activities with higher levels of challenge provide more XP.
Yeah. Okay,
character in your arsenal can put a set of 5,000 in a week.
Okay.
During the weekly reset, it'll go back.
Yeah.
So it does focus on playing as a clan, but it also allows you to contribute to the clan if you're not able to play with your clan at that moment. So that's great.
Well, also there are bonus rewards for like playing with the clan and doing things like the Nightfall.
Right.
Plus, it's also good that I can contribute to the clan overall where everybody's pretty much on PS4 and I'm still on Xbox One.
So, we're going to touch on a couple more things and we're going to get out of here. One thing I did want to bring up is I am thoroughly happy with the fact that I have reached level 20. I'm at the level cap and I am still not fully prepared to go off and do everything that's available to me now.
Yeah, same.
You still could get your ass kicked.
But in the original launch, it was,
Your
strikes. 20. It was strikes and nightfalls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were your hardest activities, and you had to work a little bit harder to get a higher. What the fuck was
light?
Higher light.
Mm-hmm. Light.
So light bikes. So you could participate in those events.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was all you were locked out of, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's, like I said, the lost sectors, the fucking adventures.
Yeah.
They are, like some of them are level 260 that you have to fucking work for.
And that was one thing where I kind of wasn't understanding. I was like, all right, I'm 20. I'm going to go fuck around and do this. Like, I think I did like a meditation, and I'm like, I am fucking not ready for this shit. I couldn't get out of the first room.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I got to back out.
Yeah.
And then I looked at it, and I was like, oh, because under every adventure, meditation, it shows you what light level you should be at.
Yep.
And I looked at it, and I was like fucking 50 shy. I'm like, oh, that's why. Okay.
Power, Matt. Power. But
I'm not going
power.
To.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to spoil why and how, just in case you're listening to this and you have not played the story yet. That's hard to believe.
Tongue, motherfucker.
But the factions have been changed in this game as well. They're really not factions anymore.
They're coming back, though.
But they are.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
I'm
not sure if you saw that.
Yeah, they are coming back. For right now, your factions are your individual contact points for each of the different worlds. And how it works is you can go in and turn in those rep coins to each of those different people and get loot from them. And as we've discussed before, I think we talked about it on the show already, the engrams will drop at a specified light level based on an overall roll of your available items for your character. You don't have to be wearing your highest level gear. The algorithm in the RNG will automatically calculate the appropriate level for your engram drop for you.
And RNGesus.
And 265 is the cap on legendaries.
Yes.
Just to give you guys a heads up.
260 is where the grind like fucking That's screeches to a halt. And 265 is the cap as of right now for legendary weapons. I think 300 is the exotic cap.
Yeah, yeah.
With that said, the drops for items is much more gratuitous than it was in the previous game.
Oh, yeah, they were like fucking... They're just...
They're flying showering every fucking wear.
They're so good. Tom said something to me about there possibly being another like loot cave of some kind in this game. They're so good, I didn't even give a shit.
Well, look, yeah. Okay,
like, I don't really need it.
So wait, I've talked about the world and how
three exotics already.
How much content there is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I have not left Earth yet after post game, except for like tying up one little thing.
Yeah.
Because there's so much for me to do on the first world I started at.
Yeah.
Shit that's level 260 that I can't play yet.
Yeah.
With that said, there are several things that I've picked up so far. I have two weapons that I'm working on right now that are essentially like the exotic weapon bounties or like Necrochasm, where you had to go use it. Kill Hive to turn it to transform it into Eidolon's Alley, all that other shit.
Yeah,
I have two items like that I'm working on right now. I think it's super cool that they put stuff like that in there. Like these are legendary items, legendary weapons that I have to go through these steps to get. I don't know what they're going to be.
Yeah,
and they're probably going to be shitty when I get them.
They're not.
But they're probably going to be dismantled into shards.
It's cool. I got an exotic drop just before I came over here. From Failsafe on Nessus by turning in coins to
And
her.
I love that bitch.
Yeah, Failsafe is hilarious.
Failsafe is fucking awesome, yeah. But just, can I reiterate my statement? I got an exotic drop by leveling up my reputation with one of the quote-unquote factions.
And just turning in their coins, rep coins, and they gave you an exotic drop for it. Yeah.
Like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of the shit that was the grind from the first game has been softened dramatically for Destiny 2. Not to say that there isn't still a grind because you need to get to that light level
so that you can go.
Yeah, the game's going to be a grind. You need to get to that light level so you can get to those harder activities.
Yeah.
You guys have anything else you want to throw in?
I just want to quickly, like, I'm sorry to be the guy to rain on everybody's parade. None of this shit matters. And the reason why I say that is because Destiny's strength, what makes or breaks Destiny's success is what they do over the next couple months.
Yeah.
What's going to make or break the game is the first expansion and the raid that comes with it.
I wouldn't even go that far.
And the content that comes with it.
I wouldn't even go that far. Because I'm going to tell you now, I've already played through the game twice. There's little for me to do. I'm not getting bored because I like the game loop of Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about me. I'm worried about somebody else saying, I've already done this. But now, granted, no one else has put in the hours that I put in.
I was going to say,
I know. I know that. But again, that's 3 days for me. Let's say 3 weeks for the regular person.
Yeah.
What's going to happen after that? I'm hoping they have a plan. And from what I'm seeing, I mean, I've never seen Bungie break down by the week what they're going to do over the next month.
Mm-hmm.
They are showing me a lot of stuff to basically ease my fears. They're showing me a lot of stuff where it's like, hey, we've learned a lot since 2014.
Zer's coming back. Worry. Factions are coming back. Yes. This is coming, you know.
We got you.
Yeah.
But again, I'm still worried. But I think I'm worried for no reason. I think. But we'll see what happens. I'm hoping this conversation is still as jolly as it is around December when we're knee-deep in the next expansion, still playing the old content, still running around doing adventures.
And look, at the end of the day, take it from somebody that makes fucking mistakes and bad opinions all the time. it's a video game.
That's true.
It's okay to be done with it whenever you're done with it.
Yeah.
And like, you don't have to, if you're okay with doing what you're doing and you're like, I feel like this is grinding, I don't feel like fucking playing right now.
Turn it off.
That's it.
Move on.
It's like, you know, because I guarantee you by the time any average person's going to get bored, you're definitely going to have like 20, 30 hours into it at minimum. So like,
which that's a solid length for a game.
Which means that you got your money out of that game. So like, you know, and then when the expansions come up, get back to it. Mm-hmm. But like,
well, I have a feeling that's probably what you and I will end up doing, Matt. We'll play through the game, get what we want out of it, and then we'll probably dip out for a while until
I'm going to disagree. I think Matt's, because Matt still has yet to play with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I feel like that's part of the reason that Matt's not saying why he's back. He's been talking to Ricardo on Facebook. Those memories of those people he's played with. He even jokingly told DJ, one of our friends of ours, saying, hey, I'll get Destiny 2 if Dak talks me into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, it's the camaraderie of that game, too, which is why this game is so special to me.
Yeah, which, I've said 100 times over, I've never had in any other fucking video game, period. Battlefield 1, I never talked to one person, ever. I never did anything with anybody. And I was level 70 by the time I quit playing. I never did anything with anybody that fucking I had to talk to. And it's like, you know, when you see that black and white still image and it takes you right back to that fucking couch in 2015 with your headphones on to playing something.
Two bastards talking foreign languages to each other.
Yeah, fucking people arguing Portuguese and shit. And like, that shit's awesome. Like that fucking, that feeling of beating the Vault of Glass.
And then beating your dick.
After 2 days of fighting to get it done was like the fucking greatest video game feeling I've ever felt.
Well, with that said, I am ready to get the fuck out of here and go make some more Destiny memories. So I'm going to call it right now. This has been the Destiny Talk of the 411 Gaming Podcast. As always, I'm your man, Jackie Fingers. If you didn't hear me before, you can find us online at 411gaming.com, 411gaming at gmail.com. Excuse me, I'm out of breath. And 411 Gaming on your favorite social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you want to play with us, hit us up on the Facebook page, on Twitter. We're running a clan. We'll be online. Just let us know. Tell us what you like about Destiny, what you don't like, what you're looking forward to, and your experiences so far. We want to hear from you guys as well. We're going to be talking about this for a while, so let us up. Peace.
Bye.
So, yeah, I make bad decisions.
I even got her poster on my wall. When I see it, a reminder that I probably need to go out more. But fuck it, I'm unapologetic. If I see the XP, I gotta get it. The sweeter with the PSD, the diabetic. Take it in the cryogenic freezer. So when they wake me up 100 years later, I continue to beat her. Word to Jackie Fingers, peace to Soul Sand. My boy Matt, keep a controller with both hands. Time popping up every 14 shows. Dad got the 411 and the 410. Let's go. Stop playing with me.